B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid. Ooh.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The question is, those eight regular season games means everybody can move in the standings. Everyone can move in the seedings. And if that's the case, is this proposal good news for the Celtics competitively?
I mean, God, it's so hard to know if it's good news for anybody until we see what these players look like. I mean, that's the more important news. Certainly, if you're, you know, looking at the standings, saying, look, you can jockey to avoid maybe a Philadelphia in the first round, a team that's played Boston pretty tough over the years, will have Ben Simmons coming back. I mean, that's certainly a plus. So, and getting eight regular season games in before jumping into a playoffs, you know, certainly is great for any team to shake some of the rust off. But I mean, honestly, Mike, it's just about what these guys look like when they come back, and you know what they look like after a 2.5 or 3 week training camp in July. That's going to be the most overwhelming factor to who wins the championship this year.
As Chris Max had him on before from Sports Illustrated, NBC Sports Boston, on the pending return of the NBA, which will probably be announced tomorrow or voted on tomorrow and announced this week anyway. A lot of the details have leaked out. 22-team field. Everyone's going to come back and play eight regular season games. There's bubble teams, five in the West, one in the East. They're all at least three and a half games behind. The 9 to 8 is at least 3.5. In the East, I think it's like 4.5. So the deal is, if after the eight regular season games, any of those teams outside of the top eight are within 4 games of the 8 seed, there's going to be a play in there between 9 and 8. I still haven't heard anyone address what if there are multiple teams within 4 games of the 8 seed. Now, maybe there's a way that they can even avoid that by scheduling it a certain way that just couldn't possibly be. And I, you know, the schedule's another thing to consider. What 8 teams are you playing? So a lot of people focused on the bubble teams and getting into the tournament. I think the big news for the Celtics is that their road changes. And what's becoming clear is, you know, one, which I think we've known for a while, the league is not going to seed 1 to 16, which is good for the Celtics, because if it had seeded 1 to 16, your road would have been Philly, Clippers, Lakers, Bucks. Murderer's row. Even with no travel, hard to imagine you get out of that. So you're just going to be within the East, okay? And furthermore, you have a chance to change your matchup because it's still Philadelphia in the first round if it ended today. And while I think Philadelphia is garbage, I don't know. Empty building, no travel, all that layoff, the uncertainty. Embiid's a tough matchup. They've played you well this year, in fact. That's not a soft landing for you, for sure. So now you could get a different first round appointment. You could catch Toronto in the 2 seed. I think you're 3 games behind.
Yep.
You could catch Toronto in the 2, which means you get the 7 seed, which is a really nice landing. The Nets, we think, without, you know, Durant or Kyrie, they're probably not going to come back. So that's a layup for you. So that's you can move up and do that. Or you might be able to knock Philly out of the 6. Philly right now and Indy are tied 5-6 with, I think, the same record. And so you could end up avoiding Philly in the first round just by Philly and Indy sort of jostling. So I think the whole thing benefits. Again, as I said earlier, it's on the margins. But I think the whole thing benefits UMass.
Yeah, look, again, the big thing is that it could get the Celtics out of Philly. I just think Philly's a bad matchup for him. I think the Celtics are going to struggle with any team that has size, because they don't. And again, when we had Chris Mannix on, one of the things he said, and this is just a theory, but it's important to mention, is that he thinks the teams that come back that rely a little less on the three and have the capacity to play closer to the rim might have an advantage because shooters could be rusty. Those are teams with size. And so if the Celtics can avoid some of those clubs, I think they, you know, they'll be in better shape. And it's not just that they could move up and catch Toronto, as you noted. Miami, Indiana, and Philly, 4, 5, 6, are within 2 games of each other, and Indiana and Philly are tied. So if those three teams just shuffle around and the Celtics stay where they are, they'll end up with a different matchup. And that could, you know, and that means that it could be a tougher matchup for someone like Toronto. Like, all kinds of things could change there. And so, to me, I that is only a good thing. No two ways about it.
Okay, Mannix also said the biggest variable is what those players will look like, as in some guys will be well, certainly rusty, but out of shape or didn't prepare like that. That I just, I would like to reject out of hand for the top teams. And I'm going to put the Celtics, to me, there are four teams that have a chance to win a championship, and you're one of them. Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, you. That's it. I mean, that's who I think the four are. I don't give due respect the Nuggets, you know, Rockets, Jack, you know, any of those teams out west, and I don't give Toronto or Philly. I don't think they're that kind of team. So I think it's you and the Bucks and the Lakers and the Clippers. Any of those, any players on those four teams, or if you want to include Toronto or, you know, some of those other ones sniffing the top, if they come back out of shape, shame on them. With a chance to win an NBA championship, you're going to let yourself go just because you couldn't keep it together for a couple months? That would be a disgrace.
Yeah, but I think that's I'm not going to be surprised.
Do you think that's a possibility?
Oh, I mean, Enes Kanter said, and I know it's not one of the superstars of the league, he said on his podcast last week that, yeah, he's not in great shape right now, and he's been sitting around playing too many video games and eating.
So, oh, that's so you
think,
atrocious.
You think he's alone in that?
Put out a exercise video and take a class, for crying out loud. Go for a jog. There's no excuse for that. That would piss me off if guys came back out of shape.
They're going to.
Okay, Murray, rust is one thing. All except rust, okay? You know, I mean.
Yeah, that's a given.
It'll piss me off if Jason Tatum can't shoot because he couldn't find a basketball or a rim. Like, that's a little annoying. But be that as it may, I understand rust. If they're heavy, oh, shame on you.
Like, it's going to happen.
No, don't. Please don't.
Yeah.
Especially if you're one of those contenders. If you're a bubble team or a 7-8, you know, you got no shot anyway. Not that it's acceptable for, you know, you have one job, and that's to stay in shape. You're an athlete. That's your one job. So it's not acceptable, but I sort of get it. You're just going to get bounced in the first round anyway. I understood. If you're Giannis and you got all this riding on you, you're an MVP, but you got to win a ring to validate who you are, you're going to let yourself get out of shape or get distracted. I think he had a kid here during this time. You know, let yourself get distracted or weighed down by that. That would be, to me, no.
Inexcusable.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear that.
I would think, yeah, given these guys and the shape that they're in, the ages they are, they should be able to bounce back pretty quickly. But if a guy is like 25 pounds overweight, like, that is ultimately inexcusable.
Oh,
this is your craft. And you've also known, it's not like the discussions have ever been anything as like, well, we're not coming back. We're not coming back. There's always been the motion of, hey, we're going to return. We just don't know when. So at some point, you got to get off your ass, I would think. But it's going to happen. Someone's going to come in and we're going to be like, oh, it'll be great fun for the show, but it'll be embarrassing for them.
I've told you, my money is on Embiid and on Zion. I think those two guys could come in looking like Tweedledee and Tweedledum. So, I mean, two of them just gigantic.
I think Harden's soft. You know, I mean, I look at him like, do you lift? Like, what? He's like doughy.
Kyle Lowry's got a giant ass.
Oh,
anyway.
Giant. Oh, yeah. Kyle Lowry's pudgy. He's pudgy.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah, he could be huge.
Jokic in Denver. There's going to be some guys that come back and be like, what have you been doing?
Definitely.
Mike, your Bucks, I don't think you have to worry about Giannis. I just think he's
too hard-working.
Committed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also too much of an athlete to get woefully out of shape.
He works his ass.
The guys
ass
I'd be worried about on that roster are the Lopez brothers. I think those guys could freaking be huge, huge when they come back.
So, yeah. This is too hardworking. His ethics too good. And the Lakers, it's like LeBron's, you know, I mean, it's too important to you, to your legacy, to who you are. You know, he'll be in shape. He's got to be in shape. And he's one of those guys that's going to make sure Anthony Davis and everyone else around him is in shape. Has to be. Don't tell me those guys aren't going to be ready to go. Don't tell me that. So anyway, how do you feel about the NBA format in general? Too complicated, too annoying, too convoluted that you want to bitch about it? By all means, we are your clearinghouse for bitching. 617-779-0985. Have at it. Let's get back to the calls right here. Steven in the car on the MLB situation. Steven, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I was just wanted to talk about, you know, you had Tomasi on, which was fine, you know, but did you expect anything more than a union thing from him? And I'm going to go straight down the middle with this, and I just want to go straight to what's happening with baseball. And I think they're at a complete stalemate. I think the death knell is in there because of the fact that if they are worrying about having
Steve, as usual, your call's just not working or connecting with us here on planet Earth. The thing about, you know, owners versus players, and Tomasi, that liberal puke, of course, attacks the owners.
Always.
I mean, usually I would attack the owners, too. And if you give me the case for both on, you know, just this alone, Tomasi's probably right. I would probably blame the owners more than the players too, just for this, you know, in a bubble on this one issue alone. But I am so bent out of shape by those baseball players refusing the pitch clock, refusing the changes in the game that I need in that game, that I am now against them on everything. I want them to lose on everything because I want that union to get broken so they are weaker, and then they have to accept the pitch clock and the things the sport needs. So that's, I've been clear about that from the start. This all does go back to the changes that the game needs, and I think blowing them up now would help that.
And, oh, that's my – I just think – I'm sorry, Murray. I think John – and I respect his opinion greatly, and I'm not being disingenuous about that. But I just think he's underestimating the owner's willingness to either minimize this season or pull the plug on it. Deep down, I'm telling you, I get the sense they're willing to do it.
They both stink.
I just think that, you know, again, I look at it and say, well, wait a minute. You're in the middle of a pandemic. You play the regular season. It's not going to be all that profitable for them. And I'm not telling you that that's the right reason. I'm just trying to justify why they would pull the plug on it. And they look at it and say, the playoffs are no slam dunk no matter what, because everyone's fearful of a second wave of the virus in the fall. And they say, we're entering the approaching the final year of the bargaining agreement. The product on the field sucks. Let's pick the fight now. Yeah. We might as well. We'll save ourselves a couple of bucks here at the end of the season. And then next year, if we can't bring fans into the stadiums, we'll be able to do the same thing. If I'm the owners, I'm picking the fight now.
Yeah, who's been more unwilling to bend between the two? And it's the players. And it's not just with this current labor dispute during the pandemic. It's over the last decade or so. No, we're not going to change. We're not changing that. Nope, no. And it's been proven by how the players have talked. Whether it was David Price last year, and he's not going to change to make the game go faster, or Blake Snell talking about his money. So they both suck, but right now the players suck more.
How about how baseball, though, that they're the sport that can't get it together?
Unreal. Not unreal. It's totally believable. It's who they are.
Perfect.
Yeah, it is. It's completely consistent with who they are. And so, you know, this is the way it's been now for a long, long time. There's very little trust between the players and the owners in that sport. It's easily the worst of the four, and the game needs a major overhaul. It's broken on multiple levels. They need to get to the core of it, or the game will be destroyed.
More of your calls right after this.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
How does this change who you favor? And I know you said it's going to all depend what they all come back looking like. And, you know, we just don't know. So try and look ahead to it, Chris. You know, what teams do you think will be focused? Who do you think will come back in shape? Combine that with who benefits from not having to travel in the new format. Try and handicap it for me. Who comes out of this?
Well, the only thing I could say that makes some sense to me, not knowing what these guys look like, but the teams that shoot few threes probably will do better, because I think the shooting percentage is going to be college-like. I mean, it's just going to be awful, you know, from the perimeter, because guys have been so rusty, and so many of them, in addition to being off, you know, haven't done much in the way of workouts. We've talked about Tatum. You know, Giannis has said something similar about not being able to shoot. You know, a lot of these guys, it's, you know, 3 weeks in camp and eight games is not going to get them into midseason form. So, you know, you look at a team like Milwaukee that doesn't necessarily rely, you know, with their star player anyway, on the three-point shot. Some of these other teams that aren't three-point shooting teams, they stand to benefit more. At least that's my kind of read of the situation. But, you know, in probably 3 weeks' time, guys, when all these players start rolling into camp, they're not going to be able to hide the out-of-shape players. It's going to get out either visibly, or it's going to leak out who's in shape and who's not.
Okay, so I'll say this. If there are out-of-shape players on the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Celtics, you know, the teams that really have a chance, and I will put the Celtics on that list, that's a disgrace. You know, if you're telling me you're 7-8 seed and you don't expect much, like, that I half expect. But if one of the players on those teams let themselves go when they've got a championship on the line, shame on them. Couple other quick things.
No, I agree with that, by the way. I totally agree that you have to figure out exactly the best way humanly possible, whatever money can buy to get you in shape, that's what you got to do.
Okay, so that exchange there with Chris Mannix. Before we continue with your calls, as promised, Roger in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick thought on my end. I'm Roger from Tiverton, and it's admittedly a skeptical opinion, but I love my NBA basketball and the Celtics, but the NBA trying to force-fit this thing in between, the schedule in between now and October before next season starts, strikes me as just a NBA desperation looking for a marketing opportunity. In my opinion, they're going to gift King James the championship with the byline that Kobe's spirit carried the team through the most difficult year in league history. The championship to me will be a sham, and I'd rather them cancel the season at this point.
Roger, what if the Celtics win it? Is it a sham?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, okay.
At least he's consistent.
Then, Roger, I welcome your call. If they happen to win it, you can call me the next day and say, asterisk, I'm not going to accept it.
Yeah. Because given the relationship between Jason Tatum and Kobe, the late Kobe Bryant, I mean, he could also say the same kind of thing. Like, he helped carry me and the Celtics to the championship. Like, any other teams could say that.
So I've heard other people make this point. I think it's a good one. You put an asterisk on it, but it's a good asterisk, meaning that they endured more than most champions. They proved themselves and their mettle more than they normally would, because they're the team that persevered the 3-4 month layoff, the isolation away from their family, if that's what it ends up being quarantined for 3-4 months, grinding out a tournament in the middle of August heat in Orlando or Vegas, blah, blah, blah. Like, you could make that case that the team that wins the championship this year deserves even more credit.
I've talked myself into that. And as quick as I usually am to bust balls with an asterisk on any team, and I certainly did it to the old Bridgie Celtics a few years back, whoever wins it, the mental toughness and focus that they have shown in any of these professional sports that return, there shouldn't be an asterisk on their championship. They shouldn't.
I mean, you're really talking about a team that would have had to win despite a greater interruption than any team in history and probably in any sport. I mean, really, to be able to come back and play at a high level, if a team can do that, is going to be quite a feat.
And I'll give credit for it. It'll apply to everyone, really, but there's no home court, so it's not like you got game 7 at home, which you win 80% of the time in that league or something. It's even more earned. There's no travel. There's no home court. There's none of that game 7 home advantage that you usually get in that league. So, yeah, I mean, I'll put an asterisk next to it, but it's a good one. Tom and Quincy, thoughts on baseball right now?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, that last guy aggravated me. His favorite sport's coming back, and he's bitching? I've had to listen to Boris Snell, Schwerza, Harper, Tony Clark, now the a-hole that owns the Cubs. It's like, these people, you guys, your sport's coming back. They actually have, like, a structure. There's a plan. They have seating. They just don't know where they're going to friggin' play. My sport can't even stand the thought of living on the same planet with each other. They are so far away. When I called you guys a few weeks ago, Scott Boras set the tone for this. None of this surprises me. None of this. It is a friggin' joke. The last thing that guys want to hear, working people want to hear, is a billionaire owner come out yesterday and say what he said.
Tom Ricketts said that the losses in baseball would be biblical. Biblical! Like, the seas parting and biblical losses.
Mike, it's a joke.
It's a joke.
It's like these guys, it's ridiculous. And it was like the owners kept their mouths relatively shut through all this. They've basically shown their actions. You know what I mean? They've gone by that. Hey, you know what? Not a chance in hell we're accepting that. Not a chance in hell we're accepting this. Not a chance in hell we're going to play. I feel like I did 2 weeks ago. Season ain't happening. I don't want to hear guys call up and complain that the sport that they love is going to happen, but they're friggin' mad of how it's going to happen.
Fair point. But it is so baseball that they're the ones that so oblivious in their own little rotten cocoon that they're the ones that should be first and will be last and may not be at all, Maz.
Well, which is why, again, I wonder whether, how much of it is by design. And again, the owners have some method here because they have not negotiated in good faith. All they've done is try to piss off the players from the very beginning, right out of the gate. The 50-50 proposal, which they never even made, was designed just to piss the players off and get their backs up so that they could accomplish something else. And now in the last couple of days, you know, you have Ricketts with the Cubs, Kendricks with the Diamondbacks, who made an asinine comment saying that we're not going to play in November because we're worried about the health of our players. Oh, please, stop. Please. That's embarrassing. I mean, that is just a blatant lie, frankly. And so I do. I wonder whether, look, say what you will. I mean, and I think some of the owners are inept. But I don't think Rob Manfred is stupid. I don't. And I think at the end of the day, he's representing what the owners want. And it feels to me like they want a fight.
Okay. I just think he's weak because I think part of his job should be to lead the owners in the right direction. And like most commissioners today, it's just the opposite. He's on a leash. You know, he's the bitch, as opposed to the guy sort of leading the way. And that's what that's for. Because the owners need reforms amongst themselves as well, as we've talked about many times. Doug in Lakeville has a thought on our little MLB popularity game we've been playing the last couple of days. Yes, Doug?
Yes. I'll preface my point saying I agree with your overall point, Felger, that baseball's dying. It's an older demographic. And most people don't know who the players are. But your argument of using La Stella, Means, Vogelbach, and Lowe is very disingenuous.
Why?
Well, Means pitched one game before last year.
He's an all-star.
So, an all-star. So he plays in Baltimore for a half a season before becoming an all-star. It's still one season. So if you're going to mention how people know players in Baltimore after one season, come on. La Stella, five-year National League guy. Weak hitting second baseman comes to the AL and played 80 games in the AL last year.
All-star.
Who's going to know what a weak hitting second baseman?
I don't know if he makes an all-star team.
But all-star team. I mean, that means you got to watch the all-star game and follow who's there.
Right.
I mean,
the guy right, and you don't.
Further evidence.
And you don't
right.
anymore.
Yeah, but, I mean, how many NHL fans know all the players in Minnesota?
No, they don't. This is my point. Baseball's like hockey. That was sort of the point of the exercise. I'm not telling you that we know hockey players any better or that we know hockey players at all. We don't. But it was, again, the jumping off point was a Pete Abe comment and his comment the day before that says baseball is in danger of becoming hockey. And I just wanted to do an exercise that showed that it's closer to hockey now than you think it is. You're not in danger of slipping to hockey. You kind of are hockey. You're hockey with better revenue. I mean, that's all you are. You're hockey with better revenue. It's the same deal.
The caller's missing the point because the contrast, Mike, obviously was that, and we had someone do this on the show years ago. Someone asked me who played second base for the Cleveland Indians in the 80s and 70s. I tell you, Dwayne Kuiper. Like, and again, now that's when I was younger, but I think that people knew it. Because baseball was at the center. You knew the starting lineup of every team in the big leagues. You knew it. Cold. And now it's just not that way anymore.
It's just where the sport's gone. And I purposely picked the most obscure All-Stars. Purposely, but that was the point. That's the point. There's a time that you could give me the entire All-Star roster of both the American and National League and know who they are and their stats and everything about them. And now you don't. Just sort of like hockey. More your thoughts after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kaepernick's protests were a few years ago, and obviously they were always about police brutality. And now it's coming back to the fore, and a lot of people expect that we will see players kneeling again even when the NFL season starts. I'm curious how you think the NFL will and should respond to that. And, of course, you're such a leader in the league, what is your responsibility as a leader in times like this for the rest of your teammates and players in the league?
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s, and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better, and that we are all part of the solution.
So that's Drew Brees. Kicked a hornet's nest today with that. I asked a question. I didn't realize Drew Brees did this today. I had this topic on our rundown this morning when we were trying to figure out what to hit on today.
It was like right before we came in. I sent it to you guys. I was like, oh, you should probably hear this.
So like I just one thing, and we've avoided the anthem protest thing and the kneeling thing. It bores me to tears because, frankly, the phone calls can kiss my ass. And so, you know, we'll talk amongst ourselves for a few segments, but I ain't going to do it for 4 hours, and I certainly don't want to hear from you. It gets too aggravating, too politicized, and it, you know, well, just that whole thing. You can go somewhere else for that. But anyway, we did a little bit of it today because I was just curious, given current events and given what happened to George Floyd out there in Minneapolis, and now we all see exactly what those protesters were protesting, and maybe now we can all recognize there's a little bit of a case for it. I don't know. Call me crazy. That if those players take a knee this year, can we just relax and let them have their peaceful, silent protest without getting all bent out of shape, without the president coming out and calling them sons of bitches? Actually, Jimmy, would you just cue that up again? Because it's jarring to hear, but it's important to hear that the last time those players decided to have their silent, peaceful protest, they got, oh, my God, you guys lost it. You people lost it, you people. They just got lambasted, and the reaction was ridiculous, all the way up to, again, the president.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
Okay, so if they take the knee this time, can we just relax and let them take the knee? Without creating this thing. And I, that was just my question today when we came into the show. And I think it's a long way of saying Drew Brees proved, nope, it's going to be the same crap. It's going to be the same crap all over. So I'm just...
Well, especially with that guy throwing red meat to the base.
And so I mean, what do you think Trump's going to do? He's going to do the same thing. Yeah. And so it's going to be like, yeah, well, go back to doing that on your own time now. I'm not, you know...
Tell you what, though, that locker room, that's fractured.
Okay, so
time.
There's a football question now related to that whole thing, and that is... Do the Saints and Sean Payton have an issue on their hands, Maz?
Yeah, look, again, I think so. And Michael Thomas, obviously the best receiver in the league, Breeze's primary target, came out immediately and said, you know, I don't need to hear what you think. And then I'm paraphrasing. He said it on Twitter. And Breeze then immediately sort of recanted what he said and tried to put the toothpaste back in the tube. But he just misses the point. And what he misses, and I mean Breeze, because again, he sits there and says, well, here's what I see when I see the flag. Well, other people don't see that, Drew. And again, them kneeling is a sign of unity. They should be allowed to express it just as you are. And it doesn't mean that you're right. And, you know, the idea that he is insulted or disrespected, and that's sort of the tone he conveyed, I think is... You know, again, he makes it about him, and that is the problem. So I just think with this particular issue... The league's got to be way more tolerant of this than they were the first time, because the fact is we didn't give it enough attention the first time through.
I just think, boy, they haven't even picked up the glass out of the streets, and they haven't fully finished charging all the officers in Minnesota. And George Floyd has not been put to rest. And we're already arguing about the stupid knee in the anthem in NFL games. It's like, good God, already. And that's just sort of annoying, at least disheartening at most. All right, final calls here. Alan in Florida, our good baseball guy. What's up, Alan?
Hey, well, first of all, Maz, I don't want to stick up for owners, but they have a signed deal, so they can do what they want. It's the players that are causing all the trouble. And, Mike, I got to tell you something. I have never in my life heard you, because I do respect you, but I've never heard you so wrong about a subject. Do you know that baseball, I'll give you the quick example. In Jupiter, at Tiger Woods Restaurants, which is a kind of a, you know, upscale place, Paul Goldschmidt was sitting there, 15 people, and I would say about 7 or 8 of them were in their 30s, were in line. He was sitting at a table, and, you know, the waiter asked everyone to go away, and they went, was sitting waiting for his autograph. He's a star, but real recognizable guy. I mean, baseball players are by far. Mike Trout, by the way, he would walk down the street. Well, he stays at a different hotel on the road than the rest of the Angels. That's how much he's bothered. I mean, that's a silly. They are more right. Do you think anyone would know who the center walked down the street for the Kansas City Chiefs? Come on. You mentioned Mahomes yesterday. Of course everyone knows Tom Brady and Mahomes and the quarterbacks. They don't know. You wouldn't know half the Patriots walking down the street, the defensive players. That's silly.
Alan.
Baseball players are the most recognizable of any sport, other than maybe NBA because of the size of the players. So, I mean, at 6'9", you're going to recognize somebody. But that's ridiculous. I'm telling you, you're wrong.
Alan, I don't believe your Paul Goldschmidt story. And, if it's true, you're in Jupiter with all those Cardinal fans. It's, you know, it's Ma and Pa Kettle from Missouri down there to watch the Cardinals at spring training, and they see Goldschmidt, or they maybe even go there because they know he's going to be there. And so it's Cardinals fans. Yes, teams of your team, you know your players. You don't know anyone other players. I don't believe that 15 neutral site fans out of nowhere were lined up for Paul Goldschmidt's autograph. Like, he's a big guy. I mean, maybe he looked like an athlete, but no, I'm sorry. If I put a picture of Goldschmidt on TV, I bet you most people wouldn't recognize who he is. By far, most people.
I'm just going to say, can Paul Goldschmidt come to a restaurant in Boston and get the same treatment, right? You know, let's say it is true, because I think that's really what it's about. When you say it's a regional sport, of course your fans recognize you. And it is. Those spring training homes end up being winter destinations for all these cities, as we know. I mean, Fort Myers is Boston South, for crying out loud. If a Red Sox player walks into a restaurant in Fort Myers, of course people are going to recognize him because they're all from Boston.
There's no way. I mean, if I asked you to describe what Paul Goldschmidt looks like, and I'm looking at a picture of him right now.
Let me look. At least I know the name.
Caucasian. I would start there and end there. I don't know how else to describe. He is the most this isn't his fault, obviously. I'm just saying there's no way 15 people recognize this guy. I couldn't recognize. He looks like Joe Baseball, Joe Blow.
Like, he doesn't even compare to any other athlete or like famous person. He's just a guy.
Yeah, what does he look like, Murray?
I don't know.
He looks like a guy.
Kind of a younger Dave Matthews?
Looks like a guy.
Yeah.
He's just a guy. But, no, Alan, you might recognize him. You're a baseball nerd. Most people don't. Patrick in the car. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing? I've got the answer for the MLB, all right? You bring in one man. His name is Vince McMahon. And you make it the XLB, all right? He hates me rounding the bases with the bat in his hand, capping everyone on the way.
Okay, I'm going to cut you off. No shot. But how about someone like Adam Silver, who doesn't just take the calls from the owners and carry their bags up to their room? He actually tries to find solutions and ideas and then leads the owners in a certain direction. Now, he has to answer to them like any other commissioner, and he's beholden to them like any other commissioner. But I feel like he at least independently looks at a situation and tries to lead the ownership body in a certain direction. That's what baseball desperately needs, and Manfred has done none of that mess.
No, look, again, I would have preferred that Manfred picked a fight on some of these issues, and he had the right to unilaterally impose some of the speed-up rules. The pitch clock is easy one to sort of cite. He elected not to do it because he was trying to appease the players and allegedly, you know, trying to keep peace until the labor negotiation came along. And the point is, here you are anyway, and you still have a war. So I just think that it's time for baseball to pick that fight, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
That's the
old phrase, you can't negotiate with terrorists. That's how Rob Manfred and the baseball owners should be treating this pretty much right now. Like, we're done dealing with you because you can't be dealt with. So
yeah, this
is what we're going to do. This is what we need. And you know, until you come to us with us, we're just going to have to sit it out.
Yeah, and look, and that's my feeling. Now, look, quickly, here's another thing that's important. You see, the distrust that exists between major league players and owners that has been there forever. It doesn't feel as bad in the other sports. And you know why? because they have salary caps and they have to share financial information because that's how all the money is divided up. And so it's a much more open relationship. Baseball owners won't do that. Players don't want a cap. But the, so on the one hand, the players say we want to see the books. On the other hand, they don't want a cap. Well, give them the cap and you'll get the books.
Yeah.
And then everybody will have a hand in everything. Like, I think actually in a lot of ways it would make the environment healthier.
Dylan in the car, final word. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I like baseball. It's not my favorite sport, but I'm a big Red Sox fan. But, I mean, it's hard for me to pick a Cincinnati Reds game over a Red Sox game when the Red Sox are playing every day. I mean, what time do I have to watch other teams play?
You don't.
So, you don't, I mean, but I agree with you guys that they need to speed up the game. We need to change something. But, I mean, even if they do, I'm going to watch the Red Sox and maybe one other game a week. That's it.
But the point is there was a time when there were no games on. In other markets, there was no ESPN. It was before cable, and you still
looked at the box scores.
Exactly,
baseball cards. You knew who everybody was.
You could still name every All Star on every team. You could still do that. That's what baseball used to be.
Yeah, you have always only been able to watch one team. That's always been true. But the point is you had a greater interest in what was going on in the other places than you do now. And to me, it comes back to the simple thing that there are better options. And there are a lot better options now because they've made the game borderline unwatchable.
I could name more 1990s Cincinnati Reds than I could 2020
easily.
Cincinnati Reds. You know?
Easily. Easily. The final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope.
Well, as it turns out, we have another new bylaw here on the Felger and Maz show. We'll throw it on the pile with the ice, the mic'd up players.
Oh, what was it again?
Tanking for Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, Celtics draft picks.
Here we go.
Eric in Charlestown. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I just didn't want to get lost in the shuffle. As much as this might affect Eastern Conference seeding, this also opens the door for the Grizzlies to fall out of the lottery, which it's a hot garbage draft this year, but that's another plus for the Celtics. I'll hang up. Thanks.
Okay, so Celtics fans are still obsessed with these draft picks. They're still upset. I don't mean to yell at you again.
Even Gasper brought this same thing up on Saturday, too.
I'm going to yell at you, but I really don't mean to, but I just... How many crappy draft picks are you still, like, why are we still dinking around and pulling it out for the draft picks?
It's like all these people that are so passionate with the team and the league, it's like you somehow don't understand how the draft really even works. If you don't have anything in the top five, who cares?
We're going to stuff another guy in Maine?
Right.
Like, we've been over this. Like, how many freaking guys do you want at your end? How many draft picks are you going to make? It's ridiculous. Unless you're telling me you're going to trade it, but what are you going to trade it for? Right. So, oh, wow. So Memphis falls out of the playoffs. They're in the lottery, which means they have a point. I'm sure it's protected. I can't even remember. I stopped paying attention. What are the protections on it, Jimmy? You can't even get high with that thing, can you?
The Memphis pick?
Yeah.
It's top eight protected.
So even if they win the lottery, you don't get it. You get either the eighth pick or whatever that is, the 14th pick. What are you gonna do with that guy?
No matter what you sprinkle on it, that ain't getting you high.
I don't mean to yell at the caller, but what? How are you, Celtics fans? Still, you're so cute, you guys.
Add that to the list of the ice and the micing up the players.
Oh, but they're still tanking for Trevor Lawrence. What? Right. But you're still going on with the draft picks? Seriously.
We got 17 again. Yay.
Who cares? And another guy from Maine. Or the end of your bench. Oh, my God. Enough of the draft picks already. It's over.
Can I just clarify something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I actually think in the case of the Celtics, just to close the loop, You actually want Memphis to end up in the top six this year so that the pick is protected, and then next year it would be unprotected.
Oh, and then we get to talk about it all over again.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take all the topics I can right now.
Fair point. Fair point.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.